Chapter 5. Sounding the Alarm. When Drake reached the assembly center, he came on Roger Simmons chopping wood for the community oven. A wiry man with blue eyes, ash-blonde hair, and diminished cheek muscles, Roger had the passive-aggressive nature common to people of Swedish descent. While Doug nosed a renewed friendship, Drake told Roger about his discovery.
We have to warn the others.
Roger's gaze scanned in all directions, one after the other.
No! We don't want panic on top of everything else, including broken turbines, seeping darkness, and an increase in earth tremors.
What then?
Roger hefted his axe in readiness.
With a bit of help, we could strike while we have the upper hand.
Do we?
Drake heaved a breath.
Have the upper hand, that is. If the worms are south, too, we've already lost. So far as we know, they could be underfoot right at this moment, held at bay only by the shine of the dome lights.
He breathed smoke as confirmation that the air filters weren't connected to the emergency batteries.
So, we do nothing?
Roger slammed the head of his axe into the chopping stump.
I'm not saying that.
Drake paced in a disoriented circle.
I'll talk to Copper and work out details before bringing others on board.
That works. It's not the best plan, but at least it's a purpose.
Roger glanced toward the flickering lighting.
What about the generators? Did you find the stuff you need to fix them?
Can't know until I get there.
Drake shook his head.
Gens are complicated machinery. I'm just adding to the stock of what's already stored at the water plant, and trying to hold it down to one trip.
Overhead, the smoke accumulated and the shadows deepened within the dome's arch.
Do you think the turbines are gone?
Fear quivered through Roger's tone.
We'll talk later.
Drake groaned.
I've got to find Copper and then repair the gens. Fail that, and we're all slider bait.
Best of luck convincing that jerk to any kind of action.
Roger spat on the ground.
He's been sitting on his butt doing nothing for so long that even the thought of doing something makes him tired.
Drake smiled.
Take care of Doug for me. I'll stop for him on my way out.
He snapped a leash to the Airedale's body harness before handing the grip to Roger.
And be careful. I've encountered several breakouts of invisible flames today. I won't take long getting this thing finished.
He headed towards the barrack houses. Roger was right. Chief Copper was more busy farming than policing. The head of Dome Security had enjoyed years of easy living. If not for the tremors, he would have retired.
Ha! By now he likely thinks worms are mere fantasy.
The third plank barrack unit on the left belonged to the chief. Other than order of position, it was just one more deteriorated dwelling place, another sign that Copper was just as lazy as Roger suggested. Drake knocked on the door.
Coming,
said Naomi, Chief Copper's wife. Moments later, she opened the door. Drake looked at her and went speechless. Naomi was 8 to 12 years Drake's senior. Some said Copper was 50 plus, and Naomi several years younger. But age made no concerns for Drake. Her long, wavy red hair, hazel eyes, and light, faultless complexion reminded him of Leah every time he saw her, so much so that it sometimes hurt.
Come in.
Naomi opened the door and greeted Drake with a smile. She had full lips, white teeth, and a thin, sexy scar that ran half the length of her left cheek. Beautiful. No other word for her. Yet she always dressed modestly, a look that made her appear all the more perfect. After learning how much she reminded Drake of his wife, she had worked hard to be a friend without coming across too friendly. Drake liked that, too. Such thoughtful concern for others also reminded him of Leah, so much so that his dreams often involved Naomi rather than Leah. In that, he felt pleasure drenched in guilt. As he stepped through the doorway, he caught a whiff of scented shampoo. In this age, it was rare to find anyone with a serious concern for cleanliness, but Naomi had determined to hold fast to hygiene and decency. In fact, unlike the external appearance of the house, the orderly polish in Naomi's inside domain reflected that very concept. As with every time he encountered this woman, Drake felt unaffected by the apocalypse.
"Would you like water or wine?"
she asked. Water and a bit of milk served as the primary drinks available in the colony. Fruit juices and beverages were a thing of the past, but there was still a bit of wine to be found.
"Nothing, thank you, but I appreciate the offer."
Drake wanted to shift his gaze, but only as a token. Her eyes almost trapped his soul.
"Is Copper home?"
He felt a quiver in his voice.
"You look troubled and smell of smoke and sulfur."
Naomi turned into the house while speaking over her shoulder.
"You should have a taste of dry red."
She poured from a bottle into two glasses.
"Copper left early this morning. He's past time getting back."
A crease settled between her eyebrows.
"On patrol?"
Drake reached for the offered glass of wine, tingling a bit as their fingers touched along the way. They both knew Copper farmed more than he policed.
"Actually,"
she said,
"he is. With the electricity to the fences down, he thought a patrol sensible."
"Again," with that smoldering smile.
Drake barely contained vocalizing the thought.
"Although I don't see the point. We've had no one new here since you arrived."
"About that."
Drake took a large sip from his glass.
"That's what I came to tell him. I was searching up north this morning and came across an empty mini-mansion with a basement full of worm cocoons."
"You saw giant worms?"
Naomi knew about the generators and Drake's mission, but like everyone here, she'd never seen any monster sliders.
"Not the adults,"
Drake said.
"But the young ones were over a foot long."
His right cheek twitched.
"I set fire to the house, but that increased the danger. Apparently, the air filters aren't functional without the main gens."
"Where'd they come from? Are they really in cocoons?"
"Through the ground. Maybe even up or down river underwater, and then beneath us."
"Digging? That's not possible. Lava flows beneath this valley. Surely even worms can't survive that kind of heat."
She was scared and had a right to be. But she was not beyond rapid action if necessary. The mountains were out of place and time, but in the beginning, when the ground cracked open, they had appeared almost everywhere. That was just before the invisible fires began to break out. Unseen and for a while undetected, invisible lava run down freshly formed mountains, trapping thousands of people between flames. And then came the black.
"Perhaps they found dirt this deep in,"
Drake said.
"Maybe even one of the tremors opened a pathway."
It was a statement dampened by acceptance of the inevitable. Naomi paused and looked him dead in the eyes.
"Good God, you are serious. The worms are really here."
And then, as a thought suddenly burst into her mind, she groaned.
"Copper may not come home."
Drake moved nearer, then realized he desired to hold her for more than mere comfort. But she was not Leah. The black had Leah. It had claimed her so quickly Drake hadn't even seen her fade. This woman, this lovely and kind Naomi Jefferson, belonged to another man.
"It's this ugly, endless nightmare. It damages a man's reasoning."
"We denied it too long."
Naomi leaned forward, elbows on her knees and fingers on her forehead.
"Such beautiful cascading hair."
Drake went quiet. So silent that he feared she might hear the great thumping in his heart.
"Did that come out aloud?" "No. She would have reacted. And if she did, so what? Would she lean in or would she recoil? Be still. Don't permit this friendship to turn ugly."
In time, Naomi sat upright and then heaved a sign of acceptance and determination.
We should have gone hunting. We should have sought the truth and learned how to deal with the threat. Now look at what happens.
Drake downed the last of his wine and then stood to his feet.
Tell Copper when he gets back. I have to repair the main gens before all hope disappears.
He stepped quickly toward the door.
Can't breathe. Can't think!
Naomi was even quicker.
Now.
She stood up, coming between Drake and the door. The scent of shampoo seemed almost a curse to Drake's thoughts.
She's not Leah. But could she be even more than Leah?
Wait for Copper to return.
She stepped closer.
He can go with you. Both of us can.
She stood so near that Drake felt her breath on his lips.
I'm going to kiss her. She didn't invite it, but she's so close. So possible. I wish we had time.
He stepped backwards, aching over the space he placed between them. Then he placed his empty glass on the table.
I have to go.
Take some help.
Naomi caught him by the forearm in the passing.
And what if worms attack here? You'll need help yourself.
Her hand felt like a branding iron against his flesh.
It hurts, like the memory of Leah's left leg across my thigh.
Then she leaned in and kissed him, on his left cheek, her right breast pressing hot and full against his arm. But it was the kiss of an older sister, not a lover's fire.
Be careful, Drake, and come back. If it's our time to fade, let's all do it together.
I will.
He smiled in a firm, official manner, even as the heat of embarrassment flushed through his cheeks.
I survived for years out there alone. What matters another few hours?
You better not fade.
She smiled as he left the house.